I'm Steve Clark with Dr. Art Evans, entomologist, and this is What's Bugging You, a fond look at the animals we love to hate. You know, when I first met you, you said there were two types of people in the world, those who love bugs and those who don't yet know they love bugs.
Right.
It's taken a friend of mine, Sarah, some years, but I've watched the increasing interest in bugs that I'm taking pictures of, and now she's taking pictures of them with her cell phone.
Good.
I do a lot of cell phone bug photos.
Oh, I know. That's what generates a lot of the things that we talk about.
Well, she took one that was absolutely brilliant of what I thought was a sphinx moth of some sort.
And you're right. It's a Pandora sphinx. They're beautiful, those nice green colors. They're one of the more handsome moths here in Eastern North America, and they belong, as you noted, to the sphinx family, which includes the tomato hornworms and the tobacco hornworms. I think anyone who's tried to raise tomatoes or peppers or eggplant are very familiar with the larvae that has that very distinctive horn on their tail. What's interesting about the caterpillars for these moths is they do have the horn until the caterpillar reaches maturity, and then the horn is lost. There's just a little button on the end of the abdomen, and then they'll crawl down the plant and pupate in the soil. Now, the pupa is dark brown, very slender, and has a long point on the tip of the abdomen called a cremaster. And after a few weeks or months, depending on the generation, the pupa eventually wriggles up to the surface and the moth ecloses or emerges from the pupa. They feed mainly on grape and Virginia creeper.
Oh, well, there's plenty of that around.
Well, that's why you'll see these moths, and they're attracted to light. There's just one generation produced per year. Sometimes you'll see them flying at dusk, but they can be a very common and widespread species. But I just love those colors, that green color, and they blend right in. My students found one at Desjarnet Park in Ashland this past summer, and it was resting quietly on some green shrubbery. And at first, I didn't even see it. The student kept saying, "It's right there, Dr. Evans, it's right there."
I have never seen one.
They've probably been out there, and you just haven't noticed them before.
Just haven't seen it.
They're very conspicuous when they're sitting on a wall. Well, good for Sarah for not only noticing it, but taking the time to photograph it and share it with our audience.
And we'll post Sarah's photograph so you can see what you can capture with just a cell phone.
And this is a nice follow-up to National Moth Week that we had just at the end of July.
Yeah, this guy was late. One question, though. Why would they call it a sphinx moth?
Oh, it has everything to do with the defensive posture of the caterpillars. They tend to sort of rear up, and they look like the sphinx of Egypt.
Someone made the association that this caterpillar made that moth and they decided to call it the
sphinx
moth.
And the name stuck.
Well, so be it. Scarabs, sphinx moths, it's all Egyptian. Dr. Art Evans is the author of the National Wildlife Federation Field Guide to Insects and Spiders of North America. You'll find photos, audio, and a link to Art's blog at ideastations.org/radio/bugs.